AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, good morning, 83 degrees, and we are headed for a forecasted high of 103. Heat index is around 113 on this Friday, and good morning. I have the opportunity to spend a little bit of time talking election politics with candidate for governor, Mick Cornett. Good morning, sir. First, there were 10, now there are two.
That's right. The field is a lot smaller now, and I tend to think there's just a lot more excitement and enthusiasm now. You know, we've been in this campaign now for 14 months. I just had my second birthday inside of this campaign, so that tells you how long it's been going.
Yeah, I can believe that.
The interest level is ever increasing, and so it just kind of drives the crowds, and frankly, it drives our enthusiasm level. You know, we have a lot to talk about, and people are listening and wanting to hear more. So it's going to be a really fun, you know, little over a month to go.
Well, it is, and you know, as I look at it, and I'm sure you see the same sort of thing going on with a field of 10 that I had over at a Arvest Bank Forum not all that long ago this spring, and it was an opportunity for voters to compare and contrast the individuals that were in front of them. They had, you know, either were in the process or had chosen their candidate. Many of them chose you, but some of them chose somebody else, and those somebody else's, by and large, are no longer around, so they need to reevaluate the choices and maybe hear from you for the first time, really.
Well, that's right. You know, in those forums, gosh, we must have had 25 to 30.
I can believe that
over that year-long period. You know, with a lot of candidates, you know, sometimes we go almost an hour between opportunities to talk. You know, because, you know, if they did that little snake format where you go across the stage and then you go back, and you know, so it was a little overwhelming, I think, for a lot of people. But you know, with the smaller field, I think, you know, people are starting to look for different things, and we feel like we've got a really good story to tell. You know, I'm talking about, you know, my experiences as the mayor of Oklahoma City and how we've grown and diversified the economy and how we can do those types of things statewide. And then people are receptive. And we also talk about higher standards in health and education, more dollars for infrastructure, and working on criminal justice reform. There's no shortage of things that we need to address. And people are anxious to get started.
Yeah, they are. And you mentioned several of those things that I think everybody would call the essential functions of government: infrastructure, you know, making sure the roads work, and making sure that the criminal justice system works and works efficiently and is actually getting something done. Yes, there are people that need to be locked up, but there are others that maybe some other method might be just as good, or maybe even better. And I think the judicial community in general is looking at those things, but it's a conversation that we need to have.
Well, that's right. Our recidivism rate is really poor. In other words, when a person gets out of one of our prisons, generally they go back. And that's sad. And we've got to start helping to provide a better path coming out so that people can return to society and become a taxpayer and raise a productive family. So there's a lot of work in that area to be done, and there's no shortage of efforts. And frankly, there's a lot of success stories out there, but we need to champion those success stories and duplicate our successes and make sure that going forward, you know, we're not a state that locks up the most people per capita of any other state around us. That's not what being an Oklahoman's about.
Part of those numbers of people that are locked up, though, Mick, and you know this, you've mentioned it before because I've heard you, some of those are mandatory sentences that were part of a law passed 20, 30, 40 years ago that maybe we just need to revisit they and said, you know, is this mandatory, whatever it is, sentence still the best method of dealing with this individual?
Yeah, it may have seemed like a good idea then, but I think it's time to reevaluate it. I mean, we certainly don't want to be releasing people who are dangerous, but at the same time, it's extremely expensive to punish people. And we're spending $100 million a year on health care for inmates. And we're number one with most men incarcerated, number one with most women incarcerated. You know, we're better than that. And I'd like to see us work on it. And one of the reasons I'm optimistic that we can have some progress is I see support from the left and the right. And, you know, from a leadership perspective, when you see support from the left and the right, that should be an indicator that it's time to make, you know, create some action and get some things done.
It is, and I think there is certainly that will be on the plate for the legislature, whoever that is made up of next session, and also for Oklahoma's governor to provide some leadership on how they would like to see the legislature act in order to get a bill that governor, in the case I'm talking to you, that you would sign.
Well, that's right, you know, and we're likely to have an even younger legislative group than we've had in the past, just because of term limits and some incumbents that have chosen not to run. So, I think there's going to be an opportunity for a governor to come in and establish some new relationships and hopefully work together. I hope that if I'm elected, that the legislature will understand I'm not coming in with a hidden agenda. I just want Oklahoma to do better. I'm a consensus builder and a problem solver by nature, and I don't bring to the office a list of people I like and a list of people I don't like. I just want us to work together and remember who we're working for, and that's the citizens of Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. So there needs to be a line at the bottom of their paycheck, like there is on mine. Mine happens to say paid for through radio advertising, but a little bit at the bottom of those people's paycheck that says paid for by the taxpayers of Oklahoma, huh?
Absolutely. You know, that's who we work for. And as I travel the state, people are quick to remind us.
They are. And I think that's their duty to remind the people that they pay, that they are contributing to that paycheck. This election season, we've seen it already, and we will see more of those names on the ballot in November, that the educational community is getting politically active. Teachers, retired educators, retired superintendents, spouses of educators are gaining that political voice. We certainly saw the educational community this spring. 30,000, 50,000 numbers that were reported, and I think that voice, while they are getting back to the classroom now, are certainly going to be looking at what goes on in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. A lot of those people with educational backgrounds will be in runoff elections here on August 28th, and I think everyone's anxious to see how they fare as a group, and then again see how they will fare in November. But, you know, as I travel around, you know, people are interested in education. They want to talk about the budget process, but they're also looking for accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring, you know, 14 years as a chair of the audit committee in Oklahoma City, where we audited every department every year, performed over 140 performance audits over the year, just to help streamline, create some efficiency. And ever since I've been involved in politics, and I've been in it like 10 to 15 years now, the expectation of accountability and transparency keeps rising. And I'm just not sure that the state of Oklahoma has kept up with the expectations of Oklahoma. I sense that it hasn't. And so we need to have higher levels of accountability, higher levels of transparency, and we've got to restore the trust between the voters and the elected officials. You know, if you look at Oklahoma City's ascension, one of kind of the hidden factors in all that is that city government did what it said it was going to do over and over and over again. And we need that type of credibility between the state government and the voters. I think people are willing to fund government, but they want efficient government, and they want government that works. And I'm hoping to bring some of those perspectives to the office.
And I think that's something, again, that the emphasis on audits this election season by you and many other voices from the state rep, state senator level, all the way through government is important. And yet I think there are times that the taxpayer still hasn't fully understood the concept of a performance audit. We understand how the money is spent, and we want to know where it goes, the traditional CPA-type audit. But I think, again, we need more emphasis on what a performance audit can and is expected to do at state government.
Yeah, a well-managed organization, you know, wants performance audits. They want to see how they can do better. They want to see how they can become more efficient. And with today's advances in technology, you know, if not every year, every few years, there are significant ways that we can become a more accountable organization and streamline services. We ought to be performing at a higher level, and we ought to be performing at a more efficient level. And you have to constantly be looking at ways to do that, because any large organization, public sector or private sector, is going to have inefficiencies. That's just the nature of the beast. So you've got to constantly be looking at ways to provide more for less. And I know in the private sector, I mean, people have been, you know, doing more with less for a long, long time. That was certainly the story in my professional career, and I'm sure you've seen some of that in your broadcasting career too, Charlie. But I, you know, state government and government in general, their first instinct isn't how can we do more with less, and we need to take some of that perspective into state government.
Yeah, and I think you know, holding the budget is certainly important, and particularly in any state that, that has the constitutional requirement for a balanced budget, and that you're not spending money you don't have. But again, it's something that that message continually needs to be re-implemented, both in the ear of the people that are spending and budgeting the money, but also just allowing the public to continue to say, you know, how are things going? When's the last time we had a fiscal checkup, so to speak?
Right. Absolutely, and you know, there's roles for auditors. There's role for higher levels of oversight from a management perspective. I mean, some of these bureaucracies are really large and cumbersome. You know, I don't think they're staffed with bad people, but you know, over time, inefficiencies start to creep in, and people are expecting efficient government. That's what Republicans want. They want a more efficient government, and I intend to help deliver that.
The state's relationship with city and county government, I have a feeling because of your background as a municipal official that that's something that Mick Cornett probably gets and understands fairly well.
Yeah, it's been troublesome for me to see the relationship between municipal government and state government deteriorate over the years. And I would like to bring back a more of a partnership between local government and state government. In other words, when there's private sector leadership in our medium-sized cities, smaller towns, and they have an idea on how to improve their community, they ought to be able to come to the state capitol and get some help, you know, if it's just advice. But, you know, we have a lot of resources at the state government that can be helpful. We have knowledge about grants that might be available. And I think we need to be investing in our smaller communities and especially some of our rural cities and towns. You know, everybody is... expectations on a quality of life are different, but state government needs to play a role in making sure that life is prospering throughout the state, not just in big cities, but in medium-sized cities and smaller towns all over the state.
It is important, I think, wherever people live, their community, their the land surrounding their house is the most important piece of land to them, and
yeah.
Sometimes that doesn't show up, at least in the way we see government act. It may be important to the individuals, but sometimes by the time the public body acts, that message gets lost sometimes.
Well, I think that's right. And, you know, overall, Oklahoma just has a lot going for it, and at the heart of all that is the people. You know, it's, Terry and I have traveled the state over and over again now and meeting people, and we do a lot of listening, believe me. You know, the one common denominator I see in Oklahomans is that they care about each other. And there's nothing phony about it. They really care. And, you know, I think that's something to build on. But at the same time, they have expectations from their state government, and in many cases, they don't feel like they're getting what they expect.
Recent Supreme
they want better government.
Sure. Recent Supreme Court action on sales tax question, and as a former city official, you know all too well, Oklahoma state law limits municipal government, at least for the most part, the general fund, to sales tax dollars. Do you expect that conversation somewhere along the line to be coming up in a possible administration?
Yeah, you know, for years now there have been sales taxes that are technically due, but municipalities have had trouble collecting them, specifically, you know, sales that take place over the Internet. And so I think the recent Supreme Court decision will probably lead to a higher level of collection for cities and towns throughout the country, and especially in Oklahoma, because we force our municipalities to rely so heavily on sales taxes. And at the end of the day, that's police officers and firefighters. You know, that's how local government spends its dollars. And so when a municipality has trouble collecting taxes that are due, it's really underserving its ability to fund police and fire. And I think we all know how important public safety is. So I think it's a step in the right direction. And I know mayors and city managers across the state are hoping it leads to some better revenue.
I think you're probably right. I haven't spoke to them recently on it, but I know it's on their mind. of course, the voter question passed 57% for medicinal marijuana in the state. Our own Bartlesville State Senator Julie Daniels, one of the people that will serve on that legislative committee. But certainly a lot of questions to be answered as we move forward on a new front for the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah, I voted against 788. And I urged others to vote against 788. I just thought we could do better. You know, I want people to get the help they need, and those that feel like medicinal marijuana could be a help to help what ails them. I want them to be able to get that help. But I just felt like the way that initiative was written, it was too loose, it lacked accountability, and I thought we could do better legislatively. But it passed. And so at this point, I think the state of Oklahoma has a responsibility to make sure that we implement and fulfill the, you know, the wants of the voters. And I think it's good that we're, you know, starting to figure out how we're going to implement it in Oklahoma, and glad there's a committee looking at it. You know, in state after state, you know, you're looking for models of that might be working well. But, you know, this is an evolving issue, too. And, you know, there's now a petition out there for recreational marijuana, so at some point in the future, Oklahomans may get to vote on that as well. So, you know, this is an evolving issue, and it's probably, you know, best to be optimistic, but chances are we won't get it exactly right the first time. But we've got to, you know, just keep at it and try to, you know, to address the, you know, what people of Oklahoma would like. And it's, you know, it's not just Oklahoma. I mean, this is kind of a nationwide trend too. So we're not the only ones going through it.
Yeah, I think some form or another, some bill in state law. I want to say it's either 40 or 42 states have some measure somewhere in their state government concerning it. So it's something that, as a nation, we have to deal with. Mick, you're going to be in Bartlesville later this evening. I want to at least mention a fundraiser going on for you tonight.
Yeah, great to be back in Bartlesville tonight, and we're already planning our next visit to Bartlesville. So we're looking to coming back and meeting as many people as possible. There's so many exciting things going on in Bartlesville, and I'm hoping to get the chance to be the governor and help represent that on a national basis so we can continue to improve and diversify the economy all over the state.
And I haven't checked it this week, but I know your website has a lot of your background information on who you are, what you have done, how you got to where you are today, and the reasons, at least in a concise manner, why you're here today asking voters, at least Republican voters, for their support in the runoff.
That's right. It's mick2018.com. Lots of information on there, and people can go to our website and get more information.
Okay. Well, I know that we will speak to you between now and Election Day again, because it's a conversation that you need to have with the voters. But again, you are one of two voices, two names that will be on that August 28th runoff ballot. And I thank you for the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with you this morning and reintroducing Mick Cornett to the voters of Oklahoma.
Well, I always enjoy your thoughtful questions, Charlie, so thanks for the service you're offering the citizens of Bartlesville.
Well, thank you very much. Again, spending a little bit of time this morning on a K1 Community Connection, talking with candidate for Governor Mick Cornett. His name will be one of two on the Republican ballot for the August 28th primary. Do your homework, and again, get out. Your vote is important on that election. And again, we'll have more coming up in just a little bit. Bruin Buzz on the way. Evan Farbach talks with Coach Rigdon coming up in just a bit.
What is hope? Hope to me was just that he would get to come.